The doors are closed, but the store is open just for you. At the Crate and Barrel private registry events, you can sip and scan your way through the store with music, food, drinks, and a fun party vibe. Don't worry, you'll get plenty of one-on-one guidance along the way from our dedicated registry experts. You can see your favorite gourmet brands in action with demos of the kitchen machines and tools that we've been eyeing. And when the party's over, head home with a special gift from us to toast the day. Wink, wink. It's free wine glasses. Let's make it a date. RSVP today for a Crate and Barrel private registry event at crateandbarrel.com/stores/events.
If you live in the Bay Area, I have fantastic news for you. Almost Famous Live is coming your way. Ashley Iaconetti, Ben Higgins, special guests and performances, Saturday, January 11th at the Palace of Fine Arts in San Francisco. You can get your tickets right now. Ticketmaster.com. Almost Famous Live in San Francisco.
This is Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous, In Depth.
It's been so long since we've heard that intro video for this, and I can't tell you how much I love it. This is honestly one of my favorite times of any season is when we can do an in-depth episode.
I also love the way that your tone is like so much more like soft and demure when we start one of these.
I mean, I like in-depth because, well, one, I'm a little nasally right now.
I'm a little nasally too.
I went
too.
Camping
I got
last
cold.
Weekend, and my buddy has two kids, and we shared like the same cup, and I know I got sick from them. Yeah. Hey guys, today...
thanks for the background.
Yeah, I don't know. That was weird.
I this appreciate you using my a picture I actually like. The
yeah.
cast photo was terrible.
If you hear the man's voice, it's sensual, I would say. It's a great
yeah.
voice. His name is Mike Johnson. We've promised that we would have him on an in-depth episode. You've all asked for it, and we now have it. Mike Johnson, if you don't know who he is, well, you're not a fan of the show. But he's a 31-year-old Air Force veteran from San Antonio who now works as a financial portfolio manager, contestant from season 15 of The Bachelorette with Hannah Brown, describes himself as a city boy who likes to get down and dirty, allegedly. allegedly.
That
wow.
was in your first Q&A, I guess.
That's wild. No, allegedly is speaking to Demi Lovato, but before we speak to Mike Johnson, we got to pause here to say we're live from the Planet Hollywood in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah.
Oh man, what does my life come to? Mike Johnson, welcome to the In Depth Podcast. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, man, for coming.
Thank you, Ashley. Thank you, Ben.
I want to. There's a little bit of an elephant in the room, and I think it is best to get it started right away. Because here's the thing. Mike, I want to preface this right now by saying my co-host thinks you are amazing.
Oh.
She no. This is my zone. She is a huge she's a huge fan of you. She loves you, but there had been, and just like norm, like just like this world happens, there was trolls that came out and said, "Hey, Ashley doesn't like Mike," and then it kind of blew up into this thing. It offended you, Mike, for some of the things that Ashley has said in the past. And I think before we get started and we can really trust each other here in this circle, we have to talk about it, right?
So if I fall backwards and don't look, you got me?
I got you, man. I'm here the whole time. Ashley,
yeah.
From your perspective, what was said, what was the context of what was said, and what happened to make this whole thing a something?
I think that... Well, first off, I think when we do these like podcasts and all the recaps I do have to criticize, you know, if I see something, sometimes I have to like not criticize, but I can't just be butterflies and rainbows with every single thing that happens
that's
on the show
job.
Or whether it's in real life. What?
I said that's my job.
Oh, to be rainbows and butterflies.
Yeah,
that's true. He's the one that like always takes the easy route and like... He's like, sure, they said this, but this. And I'm like, well, sometimes be a little bit harder. I was harder on Caitlin, too. And like, I did the same thing on the podcast. I was like, look, I didn't have the best first impression of her. And then I met her in real life. Well, I met her in real life a couple times, but it was when like we actually like, broke the silence that I was like, this is a completely different person than I thought she was. I think with Mike, I saw you on the show and you were like the like warmest, friendliest person. And then the 30 seconds, and it was like 30 seconds that I met you at the wedding, I felt like somebody introduced me to you as like the Bachelor beat reporter. And I was like, they were like, This is Ashley. She does like a whole bunch of recaps. She does this and that. And then I said, yeah, and everybody is loving you. Like, literally nobody can think of a bad thing to say about you. And the first thing you said to me, I don't care about any of that. And I felt like I was kind of discredited. I just felt like I was personally, I took a little bit of offense to that because it was almost like you were putting down what I do.
I'm going off of what you're saying because I don't remember none of that. I'm not saying that you're wrong, but just going off what you're saying. Yeah, that's something I would say. I don't care about none of that. If someone were to say to me, hey, everyone thinks you're amazing, mm-hmm. that's me saying, yeah, I don't care about none of that. Let's have a conversation. So I think you took that completely out of context.
Okay, and that's probably very true. Probably very true. What is it that you felt like you had an issue with me about?
One, I think we are making it bigger than...
I think we are, too.
But I think it has to be talked about because it does get brought up every once in a while.
No, facts. I'm going to talk about it. If y'all watch me in a Bachelorette, I'm going to come at you.
Yeah.
Come at me. Damn sure I'm going to come at you. And so from what people had told me in my DMs and from what I saw...
I think something crazy happened. I think that people like literally took me being like, I didn't get the greatest first impression. And then people really flipped it like hardcore. I was like, I met him for 30 seconds.
Yeah. You met me for 30 seconds. Yeah. Exactly. My point. So from what you had said from just an article I just read while sitting over there to make sure I got my facts right. You said, you know, albeit it was only like 30 seconds that we mm-hmm. had spoke, but you didn't get the best impression. He won't be the Bachelor. Cool stuff.
Didn't then, say that he wouldn't be the Bachelor.
That's what some article I just read said.
That wasn't the quote.
Hey, fair enough. Cool. And my issue is that you should damn sure come at me first and just talk to me because I'm a pretty damn good guy.
Oh, and I know I'm going to learn this weekend because we're going to have a lot more time and that I probably should never have even spoken on a first impression.
Speak your mind. I mean... My first impression of Ben was, damn, he's tall. He's good looking, too.
Yeah, he's goofy as heck. This guy's so awkward. My first impression was Michael. Well, I want to talk to this guy. He's got big arms. Hey, Ben, can you move out of the way? Because he's got to talk to some girls.
So for both of you, I mean, I had never watched the show prior. And so, for one, that my happiest time while being on Bachelor in Paradise was at the wedding.
Yeah.
For Chris and Crystal. Mm-hmm. And because I just felt free and just was just loving life right mm-hmm. then. And so it was just... A cluster F.
It right? was.
It was.
And right. the more I thought about it, the more I was like, I was super overwhelmed. I feel like everybody was overwhelmed because we had no idea what we were going into, and it was not the appropriate time to make a judgment.
I got to ask you something, though.
Yes, sir.
I want to hear your opinion on this. Always. So here's the scenario we're playing out, right? We've talked through this. We understand as a miscommunication. We understand that, you know, tabloids and rumors are going to get started and it's going to get blown up, right? Here's where maybe I want you to help me understand. This is a deep topic I'm about to ask
the
about.
Smile's coming out now to paint a picture for you guys
so
listening.
Ashley says something like, hey, Mike might not be the next Bachelor. I didn't get a good first impression. Nothing about you personally, really. I mean, yeah, you can ask her, Ashley, why do you think that? No. And then all of a sudden, here's what happens, and this is where it hurts. She's called a racist. What do you do with that? Like, we go from, hey, maybe this person just isn't going to be the next Bachelor, to all of a sudden, she's a racist. That's a big jump and incredibly offensive to, I think, both sides.
So I heard that. I never responded.
I thought that was absolutely insane how people would go from that to what
I want to hear what you think of that, though, because this isn't a one-off thing. I mean, it's going to happen. And later on the podcast, I want to talk about you not being chosen next Bachelor and how you feel about that and what the show is going to do and what is your response. But this isn't – we've talked to Rachel Lindsay about this before. You are blazing a trail in Bachelor Nation, one that should be blazed. But why then is this the conclusion to every criticism, big or small?
So you hit on a couple points. One, I did see that. People hit me on my DMs about that. I never knew of you in the past. Not saying nothing negative about you, right? Mm-hmm. I just, like, if you don't know baseball, you just don't know baseball, right? And I heard about that. I didn't respond to it because I didn't know of you to be that way towards me.
Yeah.
Right? So people can say things, but I'm going to treat you the way you treated me at that point in time. You didn't treat me to be a racist at all. I'm saying it on air. If you are, I don't think that you are.
Of course I'm not.
I don't think that you are. So people have said that. I don't know your past, right? The way I feel about what you said, Ben, quite honestly, it shouldn't even be in the question. The reason I feel like it is in question is because there is an extremely underrepresented people of color within this nation. Mm-hmm. That's just facts, right? And so therefore, when I'm in a room of like 20 beautiful people, I'm the only black guy in this room, that may come up more times than if it were, if we was 20 black guys and then you as the only white guy, that comes up more so because that's a, it's an easy thing to talk about. Oh, Ben's the only white guy in here, right?
Uh-huh.
Maybe that may be the case.
Interesting.
May not be the case. But then also in Bachelor Nation, I don't know the demographics of how everything works out, but there, I mean, I would like to see that one day.
Yeah.
In regards to, I'm just going to talk on it, in regards to me not being the Bachelor because of my race, I 100% will say that, yes, Peter is half Cuban. Mm-hmm. He's white, right? I'm going to say it. And I think his family is beautiful. But there's that meme going around, not a meme, there's a picture going around of all the bachelors, right? All the 24 bachelors.
Yeah, they could have made me more white.
Yeah, like, let's be honest about it, right? really white, right?
Fluorescent.
Yeah. It's like looking at the presidents, right? It's literally like looking at the presidents, you know, until we got the, Obama, President Obama. If there was a diverse cast that represented America, mm-hmm. as far as the bachelors, I don't think racism would ever be in question. But since all 24 bachelors have been predominantly white, then I feel like it is a fair thing to bring up.
Let's dig one step deeper then, because I know Ashley wants to follow up here a little bit.
My apologies.
No, I'm glad you did. No, that like, there's no apologies here, because I want to step one step deeper. Then here's the question, Mike. So Rachel Lindsay, I think, was one of the best bachelorettes we've ever had, just as in terms of season, of R&B. Terms of drama, all that stuff. She has about half the followers of most bachelorettes.
Oh, my.
So,
first off.
Calling it out.
Well, no, and so my question to you, Mike, is if we look at the list and we look at the pictures and we say, yeah, that needs to change, then how does it change when nobody comes out for support? There is a problem there way beyond the show. So my point is, yes, the show could do something to fix that, right? They could have named you The Bachelor. But even beyond the show, the viewers don't respond, which makes me go, there's a bigger issue here than what any of us want to point out.
There's three things that you hit on. One, like I said, back to demographics, I think that people gravitate to what they are used to, right? So I've asked tons of times. I was in the Air Force being overseas, and I said to my white friends, hey, can you imagine being the only white guy in an airport? Can you imagine that, Ben? Can you imagine that, Ashley?
No.
That's happened to me tons of times. I'm talking about thousands of people in an airport, and I'm the only black guy, right? Huh. If I saw another black person, I'm going to gravitate towards that person first. Is that racist or is that just
relatability?
Relatability, right? Yeah. And so therefore, I'm not going to call out Bachelor Nation fans at all. If the majority of Bachelor Nation fans are Caucasian, so therefore, for the ones that may not be open to it, they're going to gravitate to what's natural for them.
Interesting.
And so I always think about the airport scenario because most of the people in here probably, none of y'all have felt that. I'll call y'all that, right? It's a crazy thing.
Yeah, there's 20 white people in the room, by the way. that's the scenario we're talking about. Like,
you're black.
Yeah.
Danielle, what's your background?
Yeah. Right, and so.
Yeah, so like for the most part, like we're looking in a room, there's people watching, there's people sitting around. That's the scenario we're sitting in here at Planet Hollywood. And
it's like if I were to go to, if The Bachelor and Bachelorette and Bachelor in Paradise was not on ABC but on BET, I'll be the right now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Right? You may not.
Yeah.
You know, I think you're. I was telling Derek just a second ago, I think you're awesome. I was saying that behind your back, really.
Yeah.
And
I'm glad it's that.
I didn't say nothing negative about you. I just said I'm going to call your ass out. I think that it's just simply what we gravitate towards naturally. I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. I am so in love with the people that are open to different things, right? And this goes so far beyond The Bachelor, but at the same time, we damn sure should have had a black bachelor. Uh-huh. And I'm not saying that it should have been me. Mm-hmm. I think I'm a phenomenal man. I said that yesterday, and my mama tell me. And I know it to be true. And I don't think that ABC is wrong for not choosing me at all. I truly don't feel that way. I think they chose the right person for what they wanted, right? And I will say, and I've said this to my homies. I've never said this publicly. I've said that I felt that if I were to be The Bachelor, the ratings would go down a little bit, but then the next year they would go up even more because they would have captured a new audience with me and then had their old audience as well.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to disagree with you, Ben. I don't think it's on the fans to do that. I think as media, we run America.
Yeah.
Period. I also think that the fans were more in support of Mike than Peter. I really do. I think this came down to
the Electoral College versus a popular vote.
That was hilarious.
I saw it on
that. That's a perfect simile for this. if we did
Peter's a homie.
If we did a nationwide popular vote, which I'm still sometimes confused. No, it wouldn't. I don't think it would have been Tyler anymore.
Not for Bachelor, but for Sexiest Man Alive.
Okay,
Tyler.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. But I think that if it were just between you and Peter for Bachelor, I think you would have won the popular vote.
But, you know, the hands that be, they have a storyline that they want to focus on, and I'm not mad at that at all.
Yeah. But I do want to go back to just the racist thing for just a second.
Let's talk about it.
I think it's insane how people can, like, take me criticizing someone, in which we criticize Ben, you know, it's part of the podcast. It would be really, really boring if we were just positive all the time. We criticize so many contestants, but I criticize Mike, and all of a sudden it's different than when I criticize Kaylin, or it's different than when I criticize Peter being vanilla, but then it's racist when it's towards Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the point I was trying to make was...
I was like, how can you possibly jump to that conclusion? It's like, you guys know that I'm friends with Tayshia and Rachel, and that's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, again, I think that goes back to, that's the easiest thing to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we were all white in this room, we would go to something else. Since I'm the one black guy in this room, that's something easy to talk on.
Mm-hmm.
And, like I said, I don't know your past. I'm hoping you're not a racist. I'm not saying that you are, right? But that is something easy to speak on. It's easy, something easy to go to.
Mm-hmm.
What you said, Ben, earlier was the IG follower account.
Yeah.
And Rachel, for y'all that haven't seen Rachel in person, Brian, I know that's your lady. She's a cutie, like, straight up.
Yeah.
Like, Rachel's, she's really cutie. And I am, sadly, I know this, that I'm the highest, I have the most followers from Bachelor Nation as far as a black male.
Mm-hmm. Because Tayshia's significantly lower than people that have had as much screen time
it's
as her.
Pretty crazy. Correct.
And
yeah.
Tayshia and I've had some interesting conversations about it.
I'm calling it like it is. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mom.
No, you're fine. I wanted to bring up one point that I would love to have you guys discuss. And this is to essentially defend Ashley.
Even Tyler spoke about that yesterday when I was in New York with him. Tyler's sexy by far. Like, don't get it twisted. but we were talking about something. He was like, it's just racism, you know. He has 2.1 million. The average black contestant probably has what, 100?
Yeah.
And Tayshia went farther than
There's
a lot
only
of
a handful
ladies.
Of you with over 500,000. But one thing I wanted to talk about is that if
I think it's just two, if Rachel and I.
I think Tayshia's like the third,
almost a half a million.
Okay.
She's very
okay.
close.
Okay.
So one thing is when Ashley criticized you or gave her opinion of you, I actually think it would have been more of a disservice if you did not give your opinion because Mike is black. Like, if you censored your thoughts, it's like everyone on the show should be loved or criticized for their whatever their behavior is on the show. If you're acting like an ass clown, you're an ass clown.
Which he never has been.
Right. No, I know. You're not an ass clown.
Did you call out Luke?
Luke,
of course.
Yeah, we called out Luke all day long. All
right, so therefore, and I'm this is me helping you out.
Yeah,
right?
No, I understand.
Hey, folks, she called out Luke, so therefore, give it to her now. Hey, people,
we've called
I don't
out
know her past.
So many white guys.
Well, no, there's a lot of white guys
and so many white girls, and we've you know them. Like you just
mm-hmm. you got to because you wouldn't have a show otherwise. Like,
hey,
you know, you guys, you know what I mean? It's just like insane that you'd blame the color of somebody's skin. For
well,
the reason of that.
Here's the thing. Mike, thanks for coming on. Thanks for talking about it. We have a lot to talk about with you.
Last on that. Also, if there were more black representation as far as the
it
lead.
It may not stick out.
This would not stick out
yeah,
either.
Yeah.
And so I want to talk to you about that coming up after this break.
Okay.
Because we're blazing new trails in Bachelor Nation year by year by year now. And I think somebody like you is going to be a game changer if it's on the show or outside of it for a lot of people. But before we do that, let's take one break. We'll come back with Mike Johnson on The In-Depth.
Jared and my place is almost done. We can't wait to show you guys on Instagram how it has turned out and how we've made my place, my old place, now our home together. We did it with the help of Crate and Barrel in their private registry events. what you do is you go to a Crate and Barrel store and they have one of their staff members carry you around, take you around the store and help you register for items that you really need and help you form your taste and what is going to work in your space. Because when you walk in there without help, I'll tell you, you're going to want to register for everything. And it is so easy to register for anything because you do it right there on the Crate and Barrel app on your phone. So instead of going scan crazy, it's really nice to have a private registry event where an expert is going to take you around, offer tips and expert advice on the best items to add to your wedding registry. So I just want to let all you guys who are engaged out there, putting together a registry, this is the way to do it. Each couple gets to leave with a special gift as well, which is a fun little takeaway to remember the experience. You know, be like, really? An experience registering for my wedding? Yeah, guys. It actually is something that you'll always remember because it's something that you've kind of like thought about doing for your entire life. Because you're like, wait, I get to like go around and scan items. Like I get to pick out my own gifts. It's pretty cool. It is something to remember. RSVP today for a Crate and Barrel private registry event at crateandbarrel.com/stores/events. Again, that is Crate and Barrel private registry events at crateandbarrel.com/stores/events.
Hiring can be a challenge, as Codable co-founder Gretchen Huebner discovered. Gretchen needed to hire a game artist for her education tech company. She knew it wouldn't be easy to find someone to grow with her team. That's why she went to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates fast. Gretchen posted her job on ZipRecruiter, and she was so impressed with how quickly she found qualified applicants. She also used ZipRecruiter's questions to filter her candidates, so she could focus on the best ones. That's how Gretchen found a new game artist in less than, wait for it, 2 weeks. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get qualified candidates within the first day. Yeah, you heard me right. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get qualified candidates within the first day. And at Generous, we're a small company. And so when we bring somebody on and we hire somebody, we need them to be almost a perfect fit. That's why ZipRecruiter has helped us so much. It helps us find all these people throughout the U.S. that can kind of be that puzzle piece that fits exactly where we need. I get it, Gretchen. ZipRecruiter does help. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for business of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Ben. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BEN. ZipRecruiter.com/Ben. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
We got Mike Johnson on the In-Depth podcast. Ashley and Mike have led into an incredible conversation about I think at the essence, who we are as humans and how we gain support and how we feel accepted and how we relate. Mike, I want to, and I know you have more to say, and I want to give you just some time just to speak without any interruptions here.
Yes.
This year, we've seen some huge changes in Bachelor Nation. We've seen sex openly talked about. We've seen Demi come out in a same-sex relationship, and we've seen you more than ever really push to be the Bachelor and have a legitimate reason to be the Bachelor.
His eyes are going.
Yeah. I mean, this
that was something you talked about as well. I don't think I ever tried to be the Bachelor.
No, I'm saying like you should, like you were right there, like you were pushing to be the Bachelor. You're in the conversation the whole time.
Yes, sir.
Mike, you said something that is incredibly brilliant to me, something I've never even thought of. You said this if you were the Bachelor this next season, ratings may have dropped for that season. You think they might have, but the next season it would have been even greater because of who they would have gained.
100%.
Mike, how do we get an audience, or how do we just get people in general to rally around new ideas and evolve in the way that Bachelor Nation needs to evolve, or just wants to evolve, but there's things restricting it?
I think that the people that are in the hands that be need to be representative of the people that you're trying to ascertain. It's just like the Oscars. They the people that were rating movies were all like old white guys, and they're going to gravitate towards what's natural to them. right? If you have a diverse group of people that choose who the next lead should be, I think you will get more of a diverse outcome.
I think you said something, and I want to go back to that. It's a powerful, powerful idea that you would blaze that trail, that the show would have to sacrifice a season of ratings.
That's just my hypothesis, right?
I don't think you're wrong.
Yeah.
Like, that's the crazy part. Well, we've seen in The Bachelorette what's happened since Rachel. Ratings have never been better.
Correct.
What's happened in The Bachelor since then? Ratings have never been better. Here's the deal. You told me, you just said something before the break. You said, if I went to Atlanta, nobody would know me. I was in Atlanta last week. Here's the crazy part and what I love about the show. If I'm in Atlanta, which I was last week, people do know. Not everybody.
Go to the hood.
Well,
yeah, ain't no white people.
Yeah. Well, that might be different. But I was at the Marriott downtown, and people did know me. And I don't think that happens 10 years ago.
No,
I
agree with that 100%. I will say that no one in my family knew what this show was prior to me being on the show. I have friends of every race. They knew what the show was. We have to have representation. It's just that simple. I mean, Rachel was a huge push in that. I think I would have been a great push in that as well. But in order to be representative of America, we have to have a huge push. When I had conversations with the hands that be in regards to being The Bachelor, I spoke on Eminem, right? I was like, Eminem was he wasn't the first white rapper, but he was like the biggest white rapper, right? And guess what that did for hip hop? It made it even bigger.
Yeah.
You know, what did Serena Williams do for tennis? It made it even bigger, right? What did Tiger Woods do for golf? These are things I spoke about when I was in that meeting.
I never thought this way.
You're
blowing my mind. I've never thought in the way that you're explaining things. And it's
not your fault. I mean, it's just we gravitate to what we know, right? I remember I was watching this one podcast. I wish I can call him out because he did such a wonderful job. He said in order for us to intermingle, we have to make sure white people are not scared of us. And so that's why it was so big of me just to be me. I'm wearing my do-rag. I'm going to say homie instead of friend. I'm going to use my colloquialisms. I'm going to be me when I'm with you, Ben, when I'm with you, Ashley, as when I'm with my homies back home, right? I want you to know me for me instead of me trying to act how I perceive you to act, right? And I feel like when that happens, we feel like we can bond better. And I think that's a big thing as well.
I feel like today we are going to get to know you better. That's the whole point of the in-depth podcast. I want to start like back from where you're from. I know you talked a lot about, what did you call it on The Bachelorette? It was your mom, your grandma, your sister. What did you call them?
My queens.
Your queens.
Yeah.
So
have you always called them that?
Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah. That's cute.
Tell us a little bit about your childhood. Did you grow up in San Antonio?
No, I've been living there since right after I left the military. I moved to San Antonio. I didn't want to move back to Dallas. I'm from Grand Prairie, South Grand Prairie specifically.
Okay.
I didn't want to move back there simply because I know the type of man I want to be, and I feel that personally. And this is like, you know, this is a message. If you graduate high school and you stay in your same neighborhood, I don't think that you will amount to the success that you can if you were to move out.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my personal view. And I didn't want to move back to Grand Prairie after I left the military.
Mm-hmm.
And so I chose San Antonio, became a financial advisor, did some boss, you know.
Tell us about your time in the military.
I was cybersecurity, which is just a nerd job. I prevented hackers from hacking into our network. I was stationed over in Portugal, and I was stationed over in England, mm-hmm. Where I met my ex prior to being on TV.
Mm-hmm.
The lady that broke my heart, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And we moved.
The way you're gonna get on the show, you gotta have one.
Man, it broke my heart bad. Y'all, people said I didn't cry. Matter of fact, Wells said I didn't cry, and so therefore, that's so ignorant. And therefore, I wasn't the bachelor because I didn't show emotion like that. From where I'm from, I have shown emotion, but it's not. It's gonna take more than 2 months for me to show that emotion.
So you're a slow grower when it comes to falling in love.
I told Hannah that.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I think that it's perfectly fine that not everyone is the exact same when it comes to how they feel emotionally.
So do you think the process would have been okay for you having to
100%.
Find love in 2 months?
100%.
If you were The Bachelor? Yeah.
100%.
Okay.
I think JoJo and Jordan, he just re-proposed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how things work. I mean, you find your person. If you are able to find your person, then you can leave the show together.
Mm-hmm.
Colton and K Cassie aren't married.
So you think you would have proposed? I know I'm getting back into that.
No,
but
it's all good.
You don't know that. Do you think that you would have proposed if you're the Bachelor?
If I were to be the Bachelor?
Yeah.
100% facts.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm 32 years old almost.
That's right.
I legit... I love love. I really want my Thunder Buddy. I really want... You know the sexiest thing, the coolest thing to me? Is like on a Friday, Saturday night when I got my... tidbit, I love sleeping naked. I love being naked in my house.
Dean, but like, you have another friend here. Dean, he doesn't believe in underwear.
Neither do I. I'm not with it. So I just rather be naked all day, but that's another story, another podcast. But the coolest and the sexiest thing to me is like on a Friday, Saturday night, you know, being with your mate and like my girl head on my chest, playing my little chest hairs. I love stuff like that. That's like legit. I want that.
Mike, you're a man who obviously feels. Like, I can tell right now.
Definitely
like,
feel.
If you could, you are what we want in the in-depth podcast. The man to sit down, talk about some real stuff, dig deep with us, and share your heart and your emotions. So, what has been the biggest disappointment in the last 5 months of this process for you? Because really, you've seen your season air and Paradise air all within the last 5 to 6 mm-hmm. months. How has it changed you in a good way? And then also, how has it kind of pulled? I think it always changes us. Let me put this in the context. I think purposes. It always changes us in a good way if we're willing to let it. But I also think it really hurts at times. And there's also some massive disappointments. And it's not always the most healthy. But it still changes us because we learn more about ourselves. What has this last 6 months been like for you as a human?
Well, I'm not a 1099 employee no more. Yeah, that's happened.
Amen.
I'm definitely on my phone more often.
Yeah.
You know, I had deleted my IG for a long time. Definitely got that back.
Yep.
I think I'll say the one cool thing, the positive thing, which is Wells, your fiance actually said this, and I thought it was really awesome. She said, going on this show is like a relationship boot camp. Mm-hmm. Something of that nature.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I think it's true. Like, I am and have been a very slow to open up, because when I open up, I'm like, I'm really attached. I mean, I've brought one woman home in a decade, and it's not because I can't.
No, you can find a girl. I'll say you don't need to say it for yourself. You can find somebody.
It's just because I'm really, I care, right? And if I open my heart to you, I take that stuff incredibly serious. And so I think the positive thing is that I'm able to open up quicker, a whole lot quicker. Like, on the first day of my baby, this is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, if you ain't with it, you know, bye. Right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to listen to you as well, of course. Sorry, I'm like staring at you and not you as well.
You can stare at her.
I mean, she does look better than you.
Yeah, she looks like
I know you got a man.
I'm myself right now.
But I think that's the biggest thing is that what Wells, your fiance said, going on this process definitely is a boot camp for relationships, and I'm so much quicker to open up and be vulnerable. I'm not one to cry. That just doesn't happen. Me and my ex, the only woman I've ever said I love you to, I didn't cry when we broke up. I cried 2.5 years later when she said I'm sorry.
Can we talk about her for a little bit? You were together for how long?
Just like almost 3 years. Two and a half years.
And then you lost a baby together, which you talked about.
Well, let's break it down.
Okay, you want to talk about it?
We're doing in-depth. Yeah, let's talk about it.
Okay,
let's talk about it. Client skirt.
Tell us everything.
Here's what happens,
that,
Mike. Because I want to give you the freedom to do this, but our listeners, it's actually wild, and I want to put it out there. Email us at benandashley@heartmedia.com. If you hear my story, you relate with my story, you want follow-up or whatever. When we do these in-depth, it's actually kind of crazy. We had Sean Booth on after his breakup with Caitlin. And it was hard. Like, it was like brutal. He was emotional through the whole thing. But, and I think you'll appreciate this, what the follow up from that was incredible. Like, the listener is going, I relate, I can feel, I'm not alone. And that's what these are really meant to do. Like, they're not meant for anything else. Mike, before we start talking here, I want you to give you a second for a break, and let's take a break ourselves.
Okay.
And we'll come back with Mike Johnson talking about some real stuff.
You've all heard me talk about it before. You know that I've slept on it and with it for years. I'm talking about Sleep Number. Fall is now upon us. It seems like in cold weather, I like to sleep on something just a little softer. That's why my Sleep Number right now is just sitting around, you know, the 70, 70,
75. In the summer, I like to rock an 80, 85. That's a good thing about Sleep Number, though. I can customize it whenever I want.
Hey, I love my Sleep Number bed. It's been my favorite bed that I've ever had. It's actually been my only adult bed. Well, because I love it so much. Why would I change from Sleep Number when it is the best thing ever? It's also the 100th year of the NFL. More than 800 NFL players are now sleeping on Sleep Number beds, improving their game with better sleep. Sleep and performance is key. Hey, a Sleep Number quality bed helps you with performance on, or I guess if you're not an NFL athlete, off the field. I wake up every morning feeling refreshed. You know, on any hotel beds, or like if I sleep on my couch, I wake up feeling stiff, sore, quite frankly, old. But on my Sleep Number, I wake up feeling great, spry and young. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you sleeping comfortably through the night. With Sleep IQ technology inside the bed, it helps track how you're sleeping so you can know every morning how well you've slept and gain insights for your best sleep. Come in during the fall sale where a listen up Queen Sleep Number 360 smart bed is now only $1,399. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. You'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 600 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find the one nearest to you at sleepnumber.com/Ben. That's sleepnumber.com/Ben.
We're back with Mike Johnson. Mike, before I kind of rudely interrupted you, but needed to, just for the sake of the podcast, you're going to share some stuff that I think our listeners will relate with and want to hear. I want to give you the freedom just to do it. You're on your way. The question that Ashley asked was, hey, you had a past relationship that meant a lot to you. During that, there was a child that was lost, and you talked about on The Bachelorette, and you're going to talk about it now.
Why, thank you. So my ex and I met over, I had just came from a deployment and I was stationed at RAF Leggenheath over in England. And it was the day after 4th of July, 2013. And I had went out that night to the club and I spoke to this lady. And after like 30 minutes talking to her, she said, hey, you should speak to my daughter. But come to find out, I had already gotten her daughter's phone number. And so I, yeah. For the fellas, uh-huh. Get the mom's approval first.
Yep, I got good you. For you.
And the young lady and I, we scheduled a date, and I no call, no show on the date.
Not good for you.
Not good, good for me you. At all.
No.
And it's funny because I remember writing, I wrote a letter to God, per se, and I said, I want the hard road up. I wrote a poem. That's what it was. And it was to no one but God.
Why?
Because I was 25 and I had been acting as if I was a rock star, you know, from like a young child to about 25 years old. And I was like, I'm just done with that. I want the sweet things in life. Like, you know, put your head on my chest and let's just chill out. You know, you yeah. Burp in my face and eat ice cream. And well, that's a little you know, weird,
but yeah, I get it.
I like it. You know, yeah. Weird stuff. You know, seven toes. What's up? And so after I no called or no showed on a date, you know, we started talking or whatever. And then I was supposed to go. I was supposed to leave the military and go back to America. And she's very, very prideful, and she is extremely independent. And I remember putting like the money in it for a ticket inside of her shoe. And she said she wanted to go to America with me. I didn't ask her to, cause that's like huge to say, hey, Ben, leave your life and come live with yeah. me in Texas. Right. And so she came with me. We had two separate apartments, just because we had only known each other for 3 months and she moved to America with me. And I wanted to like marry this woman. So I felt that we didn't need to be living together, mm-hmm. even though I wanted to marry her. But I wanted to like do what I felt was the right way. Mm-hmm. And so then like there's something called tech school. I'm sorry, ALS, Airman Leadership School. I went to that and we moved in together and everything is beautiful, blissful. I got a damn cat. I didn't even like cats.
Like sacrificing for the sake of the relationship.
Sumo, yep. Sumo, Cinnamon Toast.
That's our, did you end up loving the cat?
Oh, the cat, Sumo, that's his name. He loves me more than her. Yeah. Like, dead serious. I wish you can call in right now. She'll tell the truth. Like, his name is Sumo Cinnamon Toast. Uh-huh. He has Mr. Toast is his surname. And yes, I love Sumo. And we had, we became pregnant. And on the show, I told the truth. I told Hannah that I wasn't there for the miscarriage. And people kind of went off on me. But I didn't get to elaborate. Mm-hmm. Because quite honestly, that's between me and my ex. Mm-hmm. But I'll say. So my ex and I had a miscarriage. I ain't gonna do it. So my ex and I had a miscarriage, and I really try to keep my pinky promises. So Ashley, if I keep a pinky promise with you, I'm gonna keep it. If I keep a pinky promise with you, I'll keep it. The only pinky promise I've never kept in my entire 31 years of life is to my ex's mom when she said, can I get her some jalapeno poppers from the store? I didn't pick them up. And I still remember that, like, to this day. Mm-hmm. Like, that was like 8 years ago almost. And my best friend who lives in England, he was coming to Houston, and we lived in San Antonio at the time. And I asked my ex, fellas, message right here. I'm about to give it to you. I asked my ex, babe, can I go to Houston for a day? And she said yes. Fellas, when your lady say yes, she means no, goddamn it. And I didn't know that lesson at the time. And so I left. I literally was gone for maybe 30 hours. I came back, and I wasn't there for her. That's what I mean by that.
No way.
I'm dead ass serious.
The show made it seem like you weren't there for her, like, emotionally.
No, she'll tell you. I was there for her emotionally.
And that you just said, like, I wasn't there currently, physically, in that moment.
Yeah. We lost our child. I was there for when we lost our child, but, like, during the grieving process, which is it's a very serious thing. And I literally was gone. Left on a Saturday, came back on a Sunday.
Wow.
What a...
Yeah.
Mike, I know we're going to have listeners that relate with this. Like, this is... 100 from a supporter's perspective, like your perspective, and then also from a woman carrying the child. What was the grieving process like? If you don't mind trying to explain it so that people out there listening can go, yeah, they're there with me.
So I'm like kind of shaking. I think that for one, the grieving process is different for everyone. It doesn't matter your gender. I think it's different for everyone.
Okay.
For my ex, I feel that everyone knows I want children. Like, my ultimate goal in life is to build my future children a treehouse. More than money, more than just anything. That's what I want to do. That's for damn sure going to happen. And she knew that. And she didn't want to have children. But then we got together. She said, I'll be a great father. And so she wanted to have kids. Mm-hmm. And I think that the biggest thing was her not, she didn't feel like she was a woman. You know, because I'm like shaking. The biggest thing was she didn't feel like she was good enough for me because she felt as if she couldn't have children. And I want to tell her and everyone else out there that your man loves you. Like, if you have a miscarriage, I love you. Like, it's okay. Right. Just communicate. And my ex really didn't communicate that to me at all. But also, I was an ignorant guy. Guys, we are stupid. Sorry, Ben. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I wasn't experienced in relationships.
Yeah.
And so I didn't truly know how to communicate with her either. I literally became a perfect gentleman.
Yeah.
Like, and it's annoying when you become a perfect gentleman. Like, it really is annoying. And that's what I did. And because I didn't know what else to do. I mean, I'm asking my mom, her mom, my grandma, my sister, you know, what to do. And it just didn't work. But what she told me 2.5 years later, and that's when I cried, I broke up with her after like maybe 11 months after.
11 months after.
Yeah.
Before you get there, I just want to say, what was the relationship like between the time that the miscarriage happened and the end? Was that a factor that affected things?
No, 100%. So I think, first of all, communication is the biggest thing.
Uh-huh.
Let's disagree. It's okay, right? I remember telling my ex, I said, let's do it. You feel me? So my ex and I have spoken since the show aired. She watched the show, and it was a very hard time. When that episode aired, I called her. No one knows this except for the homie, so y'all know this.
Thank you for sharing.
So I definitely called her and reached out to her, and it was a sad moment for us. And basically what she told me was she didn't know how to talk to me because she felt like she had failed almost. And I just looked at her and was like, everything that you go through, I just wanted to be there with you. I don't care if you went through the toughest shit in the world, I want to be right there with you. And I think so many people need to know that in a relationship. When someone loves you, I don't care what it is. I don't care if you... I remember joking about this to my friends that, like, when I fall in love, if you cheated on me, I'm still going to love you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't fall in love easily, so I'm still going to love you. Now, your ass better not cheat on me. But, like, I'm still going to love you. And so I think that was a big learning lesson for us, for me, because I need to know how to make a good environment for you to feel that comfortable, right? Uh-huh. And I think for her, it needed to be that she can be open and communicate with me and know that I'm going to love her even more because we went through a traumatic experience together in comparison to going through a traumatic experience separately, but the exact same experience. And so that's kind of what happened. We stayed in two separate rooms for a while. Like I said, I sleep naked. Uh-huh. That's like the only rule of my house. You feel me? And,
Sleep naked or not in two separate rooms?
No, sleep naked.
Oh.
And so we will be sleeping naked in bed, but like, we wouldn't, I'm a cuddle. I like to cuddle. You know, we wouldn't hold each other. I sound so corny, but it's true. We wouldn't hold each other. We wouldn't have sex. And it wasn't because of religion. It wasn't because of we're abstaining from sex. I think she just felt as if it could happen again, that she could become pregnant again, even though she was on birth control. And it was just a lot of mental things going on. And I've learned so much, and I love her so much for helping me to grow in that area. And I actually took classes, like, since I've been single. Like, I legit want to be a phenomenal husband. And I've taken classes on how to communicate, because communication is different than effective communication, right? I can say, Ben, I think you're tall. That's a terrible example. I'm not going to go further. But just communication is different than effective communication. And while I was on the Bachelorette, I wasn't there for her, going back to that, for like 30 hours max during that grieving period. And I'm like shaking. This don't happen to me. You feel me? But yeah, that's what happened. I broke up with her because communication was null and void. And there would be months where we didn't have sex, and I don't cheat. I refuse to cheat. And I desired communication, and I desired sex, quite honestly.
Wow. So you came back. Man, thanks for sharing that, by the way.
Thank you
so much. And not just for us here, but for the people listening.
You've just totally opened your heart. Ben, are you crying? Yeah, I know. This is like so emotional.
So the thing is, then you get off the show, you call her, you guys talk this through, and you said you cried once in your life when she said she was sorry. What led her that?
No, so I've cried three times, right?
You've cried three times in your whole life?
Jeez. I just cried this morning.
Outside of
getting, I did.
Outside of what?
Jessica's on the side. Outside of getting whoopings. I cried this morning.
You know, outside of getting whoopings as a child with my grandma stuff.
So like as an adult, you've cried three times?
All together. Like I cried once when Selena died.
When Selena died, straight up. It was in 1994 or something.
I cried on Selena. Then I cried the other two times with my ex. The first time was when I cried tears of joy. Like, I don't know if y'all felt that. Tears of happiness happened. I was with my homeboy in England, and he was making us like some sundaes, right? And it was me and my ex, and she was sitting on my lap, and I just broke down just because I was happy. Like, aww. I just felt love. I had my best homie with me, my brother, and I had the woman I wanted to marry, and there was nothing else more I wanted in life. And so I cried. And then the second time I cried was when 2.5 years after we broke up, you know how you try to rekindle things? You're like,
yeah, I was going
to
ask
let me see how this is, right? So we've been broken up like 5 years now, whatever, almost. But like 2.5 years after, she would send me like one text, like 4 months straight. I'm like, man, she tripping. Yeah. So I go to visit her. I want to visit her like 5 times. The first time I want to go visit her, we watched Girls Trip.
She's still living in the States?
Yeah, she lives in Arizona now. Okay. And my grandma, my queen, she pissed me off. See, this is good for the people. My grandma had my ex's back.
Yeah.
My ex told my grandma that my ex lied in my face. I said, she talked about doing a job interview. And I said, awesome. She's like, I got to fly to Arizona. And like, I watered up. And I'm like, you're moving to Arizona? And she's like, no, just the job interviews in Arizona. I knew she was lying, but, you know, when you love someone, you just like, you become stupid, right? And my grandma, she told my grandma, and my grandma kept that secret from me. So whoever my future wife is, just know you can trust my grandma for sure. And
what was she flying to Arizona? What was the contact?
She took a job.
Oh, she took a job.
Yeah, because like, you know, when you break up with somebody, let's say me, you and I are together, Ben, and you know, I'll be the sexy one of our relationship.
That makes sense.
You know, we break
up.
Look at your arms. Ashley,
<I'm sorry.
laughs> check yourself.
If we met in Vegas and like broke up in Vegas, you know, it may be hard for one of us. So you might leave that city or whatever. So she decided, no, I feel it. I agree with her. And yeah. So she moved to Arizona. But when I was in Arizona, we had watched Girls Trip. We had a fantastic evening. And we were literally on a ride home. I'll never forget this. We were driving her Mini Cooper. Which people that have Mini Coopers, I love y'all because it's like a cult, like Mini Cooper cult, and they go fast too.
It's a nerd cult.
Hey, it's a dope cult.
No,
but
agree to disagree.
Anyway, Ben, I don't have a Mini Cooper, but we were just driving. It was perfectly quiet, and then all of a sudden, she just said, "I'm sorry," and I could cry now, like tears. Just I've never cried so profusely in my entire life, and we pulled over on the side of the road. And I don't know how long we embraced, but the police came. First off, talking about racism, right? Thank God.
Yeah.
I was in the passenger seat. Thank God that she was she was crying too. Yeah. And I mean, just think about that context, right? Yeah. Two people in the car crying. It's like 1 a.m, 2 a.m or whatever. Could have been taken totally different, right? But like on the passenger seat, and the police come up and they're like, is everything okay? And she's like, yeah, whatever. So they left. But like, I cried like straight up crazy tears. I mean, never before have I felt that. And I am an emotional person, but I'm sorry that I'm not sorry because I'm not going to just fall for anybody. My love is deep.
You felt what? I don't think it's, I don't think you can stick over that. You said, I just felt that, so I cried, but I don't, what is that?
I felt closure.
Okay.
I felt that. You know, I'm not trying to, I don't care. I was a damn good dude in that relationship. And I was like, when I broke up with her, I didn't work for 10 months. Like, I didn't leave my house except for one day a week to get groceries.
Wow.
Like, I grew my hair out. Like, my hair was long. I didn't leave my house. I got super skinny. I think two people came to visit me in that 10-month frame.
What?
Literally, I was a prisoner of, like, this is real shit. I never said this to anybody outside of homies, right? When we broke up, I legit 100% for 10 months was in my apartment, and I was financially blessed. And so I just paid, my bills came out, and I just, my TV was not on. I would wake up, go in the living room, just sit on the couch and just be.
But you broke up with her. I'm not following.
Yeah, I broke up with her. I think that she ain't going to be happy I said this, but I think that she wanted me to break up with her.
Okay.
But I'm going to take the blame and just say I broke up with her on my own volition for the reasons I spoke of earlier, which were we weren't having sex for like months on end at a time, and there was absolutely zero communication, and she said I was perfect. And I'm like, I'm not perfect. So she would say, you're really good. I'm like, well, what the hell is the problem? And she couldn't answer. So I kind of I gave her an ultimatum, which is a terrible thing to do. Learn that lesson as well. And but yeah, so when we broke up, I was madly in love with her. Like, she's the only woman in a decade, bro, that's met my mom, right?
Yeah.
In a decade. And you know, I'm about to be 32. No other woman's met my mom since I was 20 years old. Yeah. And so for whoever, you know, I'm in a relationship next, and you meet my mom, that's some real shit. I take that very seriously. My sister, my grandma as well. And my father too. And so yeah, I literally was growing out my hair. My hair was nappy. I was like grizzly faced. didn't work. When I went back to the workforce, I after the interview, I ran outside and threw up because I hadn't been around people. Like, you see my personality, I don't give a damn, right? But like, I hadn't been around people, so I was that. I was like isolated from life. I was basically a prisoner of my own depression.
How concerned were the queens during this time?
So I text, right? This is something that I'm working. This is one of my goals in life, just to be a better at calling. Mm-hmm. Like, I text my mom like a few days ago. I was like, Mom, I'm in LA. I'm about to go to New York. Then I'm going to Vegas. Mm-hmm. So she knows where I'm at. Mm-hmm. Like, but my family knows I'm not one to. I mean, I was in the military. I was living overseas for like 5 years. I'm not one to call you every day unless you're my girl. That's just my personality. So my queens, I would text them, but I probably lied and said I'm good, you know, prideful, stupid.
Two things here. One is it amazes me every time. Here's another part of why In-Depth started. Is because once you hear somebody's stories, you can't help but love them, right? I mean, that's a universal statement that I think everybody could take to heart. Once you know somebody's stories, you can't help but love them because you know them. It makes sense to me more than ever. I liked you because you were the good-looking, confident dude who was himself on The Bachelorette. I love you now because of the pain and shared suffering that we've had together on this podcast. The things that you said that I can relate with, the things that you said that I can't relate with, yet it can teach me. And I think it makes more sense than ever why Bachelor Nation is so drawn to you as just a human. Black, white, male, female, just as a human, man, you've been through some stuff that's led you to this point now. And the difference you're going to make in this world is something that I'm so pumped to follow and watch. Mike, I want to just thank you from the depths of my heart, like as best I can, to say thanks for sharing yourself. And on behalf of the listeners out there, thank you as well, because I know somebody's going to listen to this and be like, that's me. I want to switch gears here, if that's okay with you, and talk about your current dating life. And then Ashley always does this thing at the end of every In-Depth podcast.
All the fun questions.
Which is a rapid fire fun questions she loves.
Freestyle.
But before we do, I want to sit in this moment for a second, Mike, because I don't want to just overpass it and say thank you.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
And can I just say that from first impression to a very deep impression, I mean, I am now very, I don't want to offend Peter, but like, it's upsetting that we don't get to see more of you on the show, because we have just gotten to know you so well, and like, you're so soulful and you're such a romantic, and I've just been captivated by you today.
Hey, The Bachelor is not the last stand
know,
for Mike Johnson.
I know, but you know? Like, now it's like, we all get it. If this was aired and we had fans listening to this before they decided, like, they'd be getting very angry emails, like more than they are right now.
Yeah. Hey, again, if you're listening and you just want a friend to hear you out, email us at BenAndAshley@iHeartMedia.com, hashtag the Almost Famous Podcast, or just hit up Mike Johnson on some social media platform and say thank you, because we know you're listening.
Can I say something about that?
Yeah, go ahead.
So like, I learned about self-love and the power of that, because when in a relationship, I can't help you with your loving of yourself. And so I learned that in previous relationships. And so for all the listeners, if you're having anything in regards to body positivity or just loving yourself or just growing your confidence, or why does Mike always smile all the goddamn time? Well, I want to do that more often. Hit me up. I got you. I'm working on something for that, too.
You got it, buddy. Hey, thanks, Mike. We'll be back with Mike after the break. Lighten it up a bit, talking about current dating relationships and some wild rapid-fire questions that I don't think will cause controversy, but they will cause laughs. Take a break.
You guys know I get super psyched, super stoked, super excited talking about this sponsor, Beta Brand. They came up with a dress pant yoga pants so that you don't have to wear pants to work that feel like work pants. Now you can basically wear yoga pants to work because they created a yoga pant that looks like dress work pants. They're stylish, comfortable. It's work attire, and you don't have to pick between what looks good, what looks professional,
versus what feels comfortable anymore, because now it is all in one in the dress pant yoga pants by Beta Brand. They are so comfy, they're perfectly stretchy, and they stay wrinkle-free. They're basically the dream pant. Oh, these pantalones. I get so excited when I talk about them. Beta Brand wants your help turning up-and-coming designs into full-fledged products. Their crowdfunding platform gives you a voice in deciding tomorrow's fashion today. Anyone can join their community to brainstorm ideas that come to life with Beta Brand. You can even get up to 30% off every time that you fund a new design. That's really cool. So you guys, it's not just wearing comfy pants to work. They also are taking ideas for new innovative products. Whatever your style is, Beta Brand has the pants to match it. You like boot cut? They got it. Straight leg? They got it. Skinny, cropped, premium denim even. Six button looks, wide leg looks, they have them all. And speaking of the premium denim, I bought a pair of those yesterday. I should be getting in the mail any day now. And I'm really excited to wear jeans that don't feel like jeans, because I never will understand why people think that jeans are like the go-to casual comfy look. I think that they are the least comfortable thing in my closet. I'm very excited to experiment with Beta Brands, because Beta Brand has not let me down so far. Whenever I need to look professional for a meeting, I pick out my Beta Brand outfit and nobody would know that I'm just basking in comfort. You've got to try a pair of these pants for yourself. I've talked them up enough. I don't know why you wouldn't trust me. Just trust me. You're going to love them. And you can get 20% off at betabrand.com/almostfamous. Don't wait. See for yourself why I and millions of other women agree that these are the most comfortable dress pants ever. Go to betabrand.com/almostfamous for 20% off. That's beta, BETABRAND.com/famous.
Mike, even though I do believe that our listeners are going to eat up every single word that you've said and, you know, just let it go and sink to their hearts, I do think in the back of their mind somewhere, they're like, I cannot believe that they have teased the Demi Lovato thing and they've waited. We have waited this long to get the answer.
Let's do it.
But it would be so inappropriate to ask, like, in the midst of all that seriousness. Okay, facts. So you were pretty honest with Entertainment Tonight recently that you have gone on a date with Demi. I think you've hung out multiple times.
We've gone on a date.
You got on one date?
We've gone on more than one day.
Okay. And it all started with DMs, right? Which is totally fine. And we're so supportive of this. We've been talking
now
about...
Now Mike closes up. Yeah. No, we've talked, you know, racism. We've talked, you know,
past
relationship. We've talked sex. And now we talk about Demi Lovato. And Mike goes, yeah, maybe.
Well, no, you're pretty open here. You said, Demi and I went on a date. That woman is quite astounding and amazing. And that's all I'll say. You're getting to know each other, you say. And that you think she's incredibly humble. And when Demi and I are together, it's laughter. And we talk real shit. Like, she's a down-to-earth woman, and I respect it so much. And she's just really humble and really cool and really fun and really down-to-earth.
Yeah.
Is there anything to add to that list of compliments?
I like her tattoos. We both have a lot of tattoos. Dean has more than me. And she kisses really well.
Ooh, thanks for giving us that. Wait. Has she put her head on your chest and played with the little hairs?
I'm not going to say that.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
It's worth a shot. Like, I get where you're going at.
I'm glad I said it.
I'm a catcher. Keep coming though. Yeah. I might slip up.
So, I mean, no matter what, like, Demi's a great girl.
Fact, she is. 100%. I'm getting to know her for her.
Awesome.
How did you like the way that she was so... She was kind of the aggressor in a nice way on Instagram. She was all about going after you. How did you feel about the girl making the first move like that?
For one, I'm all about her too. And she definitely was the aggressor, you know. I find it incredibly sexy. I love that, like, come at me. You want me, come at me. Mm-hmm. If I want you, I'm going to come at you. Mm-hmm. And I'm coming at her as well.
I really like this coupling. I really, really do.
What do we call this? I learned this.
Is this shipping?
Shipping.
We definitely ship this.
Shipping.
I didn't know what shipping was until this year.
No, this I'm learning. It's shipping. We're shipping this thing.
All right, so I'm going to go into our rapid fire questioning from there because I got some Demi related ones.
So Ashley, pull that up real quick. Mike, I want to ask you a question that I told you I wouldn't try to get deep again, but I do think it's weird. So you are into Demi. Demi's into you. You're dating. It's great. You're both in the public eye. You're both beloved by America. Mike, what is the feeling to have everybody ask about it then? Like and we're one of those people. Like, I want to know about this. Because of the rumors and the tabloids, everything going off, what does it feel like to you? Because it's real for you.
Astounding question. Be quite honest, I personally don't like it. I am very private with my relationships, like, straight up. But, I mean, I'm in this. She's been in this, like, and that's why I said she's so humble, and I think the world of her, because, like, she's been able to have to deal with this crap. Like, I can't even imagine from her perspective, from your fiance's perspective as well. Just
putting
it's crazy.
Over there. Yeah,
putting at Wells. I personally don't care to talk about, you know, what I do behind closed doors. I'm a gentleman. I'm not gonna kiss and tell. Yeah. I might not be a gentleman to her always. But I'll say,
you know how Ashley said earlier, Mike's a sexy one and I'm not? Well, that, for comments like that, then if I made that, I can't imagine.
Could you imagine that coming out of your mouth and you being able, and like you being suave about it?
Just be weird.
Yeah. What it scares me, honestly, and what scares me about it is that if Demi and I were not to become boyfriend, girlfriend, right? Mm-hmm. How will people perceive that? Which, honestly, I shouldn't give two shit about it, right? No disrespect to my, you know, people that follow us. But that it scared me for that reason, being quite transparent. She's a woman that I treat like a regular individual. I'm a man that she treats like a regular man. And we do like each other and we are getting to know each other. But what if it were not meant to be? Then, like, people are going to speculate, oh, this, that, and the third, right? And so I would rather not have that, but at the same time, I'm going to be smooth criminal when I walk through this path.
And we start our rapid fire with, what is your favorite Demi Lovato song? Were you familiar with her music before?
No, I'll say it straight up. Me and my homies, we have not listened to a lot of Demi Lovato songs. And it's not because of her. It's just because of the genre. That's not our go-to genre.
Okay. Well, you can let her know that I was the creep that went to 7 Camp Rock tour concerts.
I will tell you, though, I have listened to, obviously, a lot more of her songs now. And
you gotta,
I'm
like,
not going to go further into
Sorry
that.
Not Sorry.
I know Sorry Not Sorry.
Yeah, you got to, like, comment. Like, I mean, she's got some.
No,
some
I know Sorry Not Sorry. Like, yeah. I could sing it in my head right now.
I know we could.
Skyscraper. It's a power ballad.
I need to hear Skyscraper, though, but Sorry Not Sorry rings a bell, but Skyscraper doesn't. So I'm be honest.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we like each other, because we treat each other like, you know.
And you're learning about each other. It's not like you automatically know all these things about
her. It would be kind of weird if I was like, you know how Cam is, how he'd be knowing about everybody?
Yeah.
Like, if
always
I knew,
be Cam?
Yeah, like if I knew everything about her, it would be kind of creepy, right?
It would never work.
Yeah.
It would never work.
What is your most meaningful tattoo?
This whole left arm, because it's going to be just one piece. It means so many different things. It's basically a representation of what life is to me. I guess my most meaningful one would be Breathe Life. That's my motto. Breathe Life to me means I can say a joke about it, firstly. It's not done, bro. It's done, but it's healing. So it looks ugly. But Breathe Life to me means live life to the fullest. The only easy day was yesterday. And just go out there and get it. Straight up.
I don't want to, like, hammer it home, but on my list, I said, what is your favorite tattoo of Demi's? But you don't have to respond.
I'm not going to respond.
Okay.
I like what he answered. I like the Breathe Life. That hit me. It hit my soul. Yeah, so we're good at that.
I do know what my favorite tattoo of hers is, but I won't say.
Yeah.
That's sweet, too. We just like hearing that. What's your favorite movie?
On the plane ride from San Antonio to here, I just watched Casino again. Yeah. I like old gangster movies.
Cool.
You know, I love Al Pacino. Dude is like Robert De Niro. They're freaking terrific.
You know that awesome. They're coming out with a new movie today.
Yes, and I cannot wait. Coming out later this year, right?
Yeah, apparently they're like digitizing their faces to look younger.
Because they did that with a Will Smith movie as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that Gemini.
Seems
Shout out to Gemini. You know, make sure you pay them at Almost Famous for that shout out.
Yeah. We're going to give one more shout out. If you're on the next plane ride, my favorite movie, because you asked Mike and I should answer because that's just, I don't know, I feel like I need to, is the Biggest Little Farm on all Delta flights. Yeah. Amazing movie.
Oh, really? Worth I've watching. Seen it. I've seen it. As
tearjerker. Mike, you want to cry for the fourth time in your life? Watch it.
Favorite show right now is Power, though.
Power?
Yeah, my favorite show.
I never heard of it. What is it on?
Power is amazing. Yeah, it's on Showtime.
Show. Okay.
Yeah, pull you.
Your favorite band? Music artist?
My favorite musical artist? Mm-hmm. So I asked this question the other day. If you had to kill three of these people, well, we had to kill one out of three of these, who would you kill? Mm-hmm. Drake, Kendrick Lamar, or J. Cole?
That's easy for me, but I can't answer. I feel weird. Can we say like, can we say like,
one of them has to go.
Like out of the room. I don't want to kill him.
One of them, they have to go.
Drake, easy.
Drake, easy?
Easy.
I think that, but Drake makes songs, bro. Like, he can make songs that you
don't
gotta
J. Cole has, my biceps have never been bigger when J. Cole's playing on my ears.
You gotta be deep when you listen to J. Cole. You can't be like happy-go-lucky all the time with J. Cole and Kendrick.
Yeah.
I think that Drake has more, he's more versatile. Even though in that list, Kendrick's my favorite because he does like.
The so book. who would you send?
Yeah, that's a hard one, homie. That's why I asked y'all.
The bottom line is those are his three artists. Okay. So he answered
no,
the question.
No, my favorite artist right now.
Okay. Yeah.
Outside of Demi.
Yeah.
Is going to be Sabrina Claudio.
Okay.
I think she's amazing. Her. She's amazing. I like, what's my girl name? I like R&B. Like these new R&B artists, like Janine and the Mixtape, she go hard. Like, I'll pull out my phone right now. Alabama Shakes, they go hard.
Yeah.
You guys add these to your Spotify.
I love Alabama Shakes. You're the man for that.
What was the most embarrassing moment of your life? So you don't have to get deep here.
No, I wasn't
going to
get deep
funny.
At all. It's so many times. Like I'm, I just thought it was the most embarrassing moment my sister had. for me, put my my pants fell in. Oh, I was on a date. I'll say this one. I was on a date, and my car didn't start. Like, we went to a gas station, and, like, my car didn't start up no more. But, see, I'm smooth, though, so I was like, baby, my car didn't. I told her the honest truth. The car didn't start, but I was like, let's go for a walk.
That's cute.
I'm smooth too.
Last question because I'm being told that we need to wrap it up. What is the first thing you notice about a woman that draws you to her?
Those two different questions.
Okay, what is the first thing? There they are. Okay, just tell them both.
Okay, the first thing I notice about a woman.
Yeah.
So like when we're in paradise, if you got your feet out, I'm gonna look at your feet.
Your feet. That I'm so glad I asked this question because that is truly a unique answer.
Like, yo, if you,
I don't think it is. We got a lot of toe
foot
suckers.
Fetishes?
No, I am not a toe sucker. I'm definitely a freak in the bedroom. But toe sucking, I've never done.
Okay.
I don't know.
I knew that's a thing.
Oh God, I just think of no. But what draws me to a woman? It's like what Demi did, and that confidence and that sexiness and just, hey, speak
What's
your mind.
What's wrong with being confident?
I knew. So this is what I love about Ashley. I knew that she would know some Demi Lovato songs, like even without even prepping for this, and that she could literally prep them into the conversation like this. Like, I love a confident woman, and she sings the confidence song by Demi Lovato.
She's confident. I love it.
Ashley, anything else?
The feet thing is really funny. My sister was convinced that Jared wasn't with me for 2.5 years because of my bunions. So wait till you take a look at my feet tomorrow in the heels.
No, I'm good.
Hey, Mike, we love you, man. Thank you so much. I promise you, bud. We really appreciate you. And I want you to feel that tonight. Let's celebrate here at the Planet Hollywood in Las Vegas at iHeart Music Festival 2019. Mike, thanks a lot, man.
Let's do it.
Thank
hey, to everybody,
much.
Make sure you make somebody smile today.
Honestly, what a wonderful experience this has been.
Hey, thank you, Planet Hollywood. And thank you, Shake Shack, for dinner. It's tasty. It's
is Shake
good.
Shack coming?
Oh, yeah. Ashley.
Yes.
Ashley, get even smilier. Look at Mike.
I had breakfast Shake Shack this morning at the airport.
It's a day of Shake Shack. It's a day of Planet Hollywood.
Dean has his mustache back, just saying.
Hey, make sure if you guys are interested, because everybody's freaking out right now, if you want some Shake Shack, visit a store or go to ShakeShack.com or the Shake
app. The Shack app.
I think you should dance.
Shack app.
You should like dance when you say the Shack app.
I kind of feel like it. Hey, yeah. Guys, follow our lead, Mike. We do this every time.
Bruno Mars is also my favorite.
I've been Ben.
Same. I've been Ashley.
I've been Mike Johnson.
That's right, buddy. See you guys.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.